Who is the General Body Commissioner for Fiji, and he is the son of His Divine Grace and Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who is the founder acharya of the Hare Krishna movement. So Guru Maharaj has been in the movement for the last 48 years, and he is an initiating guru for Fiji and for part of Europe, Australia and New Zealand. And he travels all over the world, spreading the glories of the chanting of the Lord's holy name, spreading the glories of the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and other Vedic scriptures. So we are very blessed to have him this evening, and I would like to now request His Holiness to give his discourse on this auspicious day. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Prabhupada, Paramahansa Paramahacharya, also Teta Sitashi Shima, His Divine Grace Savaya Chalana Bhaktivananda Goswami, Srila Prabhupada Kijaya, ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Kijaya, Anantakoti Vaishnav Vrinda Kijaya, Srila Prabhupada Kijaya, Srila Prabhupada Kijaya, Srila Prabhupada Kijaya, Go Brahmananda, Hari Hari Go. So, Om Maganati Vananda Shaganjana Shlakaya Jakshur Minitam Yena Tasmai Shikarve Namaha. So we're going to try to tell you a little bit about who Radharani is. In technical nomenclature, that's called her ontological position. So, there's an interesting verse in the Gita. Aparayam itas tvanyan praktim vidime param jivamukta mahabaho yaye dhamam adharyate jagat. And this verse states that apart from this material energy, there's actually a spiritual energy. And that spiritual energy is called the para prakriti. That means the transcendental energy. So we are situated in this universe, which is one of many universes in this material realm that only constitutes one quarter of Krishna's creation. So three quarters of Krishna's creation is in the spiritual world. So, in that spiritual world, there are many devotees of Krishna, devotees of Lord Narayan, devotees of Lord Nrsingadeva, and especially devotees, for all of you from Fiji, devotees of Lord Ram. There's a planet in the spiritual world called Ayodhya. And in that planet, the devotees of Lord Ram, like Hanuman, Vibhishan, Lakshman, they actually remain eternally with Lord Ram. So, in that spiritual world, as I mentioned before, there's many planets. Because there are many incarnations, many expansions of Krishna or God or Ram. And the topmost planet is known as Goloka Vrindavan. So in that Goloka Vrindavan, you find the most intimate relationships with the Supreme Lord. Intimate meaning, let's take an example of Yashoda Mai. Yashoda Mai, one time she was chasing after Krishna with a stick. I think you all know the Damodara pastimes. And Krishna was running away, and he was crying, being very much afraid of Mother Yashoda. So this is very intimate. Krishna arranges all this, or all these different activities, under what he calls the Yoga Maya potency. And also Ram arranges all of his activities according to the Yogamaya potency too. For example, Ram is so powerful, he didn't need monkeys to get back Sita Devi. He didn't need anything. The nature of the Supreme Lord is that he is apta kama. Whatever he wants happens immediately. He wants something, he doesn't have to ask for it. Because all of his energies, Purusha Shaktir, Vidhaya Vishuyate, all of his energy to first-class service. If we want something, we have to ask for it, and usually we don't get it, even if it's the disciples. Because they're usually third or fourth class, 10th class. So, so a first-class servant does what the master wants without being asked. And that is the Yogamaya potency in all the energies of Krishna. Purusha Shaktir Vidhaya Shute Shubhavikaratvakriyacha Tritir Shakti Ishute. Krishna has three basic energies. Ram has three basic energies. He has the internal energy, which is Yogamaya, and actually the origin or the original internal energy of the Lord is Srimati Radharani. She's called the Adi Shakti. Shakti means energy. And then from her comes all the other Shaktis, expands. The wives of Krishna in Dwarka. The Lakshmis, Sita Devi. And ultimately, then the expansions come in this material world, referring to something we call, or a person we call, Mahamaya. We talked about Yogamaya. Yogamaya is the potency, that's not Yoga, Mahamaya. Yogamaya is a spiritual potency that enables Ram and Krishna to do their pastimes. What do I mean? That people in those particular pastimes, they may forget that Ram or Krishna is God. And so they can have a leela. Leela means play. And you can't play with someone if you think they're God. No one would want. Like Arjuna, he was wrestling with Krishna. Who would wrestle with the Supreme Personality of God? No one. That would be pretty stupid. But he forgot that Krishna is God. And Krishna and Ram, they forget the same person as Dvaita Chuda and Hadi Balanta. They will forget that they're God. Otherwise, how could they do this fun pastime of attacking Lanka or Krishna killing so many demons when he was young, beginning with the Putana demon? If they actually remember, if Krishna and Ram remembered the God, that they were God, it would be impossible. So they want to enjoy. So the nature of the Lord, whether you're talking about Ram or Krishna, as I mentioned before, the same person, is that the Supreme Lord wants to taste what we call ras, enjoyment. Just like all of you, you like to taste ras. Like the ras means taste, actually. You like ras. You don't like something dull. When you eat, you like to have spices. I always say you like to have garam masala. Without it, if you just have bacon without garam masala, it's useless, tasteless. Nobody wants it. So God, Krishna wants that. And his masalas are of seven types. These are called indirect rasas. He has direct rasas. For example, Krishna and Ram. They have parents, they have friends, they have servitors, and they have people just worship them. And there's even the conjugal relationship. You know, Ram has one wife. He's Ega Patni Prati, speaking about only have one wife. And Krishna has 108 wives. Quite a bit different from Ram. He hasn't taken any vows. He just accepts anyone who comes. So Krishna and Ram and all the other incarnations, they're enjoying these various pastimes or leelas in relationship with their devotees. And even there's pastimes or leelas fighting with their devotees. For example, you have Ravan. And Ravan was actually a devotee of Ram. He was cursed to come down to the material world. Many of you know the story of Jaya and Vijaya. And he was cursed to come down to the material world so that Ram could have a good time fighting with him. Because Ram doesn't want to fight with any old, boring demon. He wants to fight with an exciting demon. And the same thing with the Singha Bhagavan. He had a Rani Kashibu, Varaha, he had a Ramaksha. Very, very interesting. So this is the Yogamaya potency of the Lord, in which the Lord, or through which the Lord, forgets who he is, and he has a good time. Very, very nice. So the origin, as I mentioned before, the Yogamaya potency and all the internal expansions of the Yogamaya potency is Srimati Radharani, and she is called the pleasure potency of the Supreme Lord. It's called the Ladini Shakti. Ladini means pleasure. There's three aspects to the spiritual energy of the Lord. One's called Sambit, the other one's Sandini, and the other one's Ladini. Samvit means the existential potency, that which maintains the spiritual world and the material world. The chit potency, Samvit, is the knowledge potency, and finally, Ajni, that's the pleasure potency. So Radharani, and through her expansions, she's giving Krishna pleasure through these different rasas. Now, we understand that Radharani is situated in the rasa, the conjugal rasa, which is the most elevated rasa in the spiritual world. This material realm, according to the Bhagavad Gita, is a reflection of that spiritual world. So what is most elevated there, when it's perverted in the form of illicit life, is the most degraded here. And the relationship that Krishna and Ram have with their appropriate consorts is not something that's mundane with material bodies. When we have a relationship, or someone has a relationship, romantic relationship, it is with material bodies. You have veins, you have so many things within this body. It is described in the Vedic literatures that the Supreme Lord is Ashnavi Ram, which means basically no veins. And also Satchit Ananda Vigraha, the form, is eternal, blissful, full of knowledge. So his relationships with his devotees, even though they appear to be something like the relationships between boyfriends and girlfriends in this material world, has nothing to do with it. It's simply an exchange of love. Relationships in this world can often be degraded to the point where someone is using someone else for their own pleasure. But the relationships in the spiritual world, beginning with even the basic relationships, the relationship of servitude, is that one is interacting with Krishna, and Krishna is interacting with the devotees out of love, not out of any selfish motive. So the Radha and Krishna exchanges are not done under any selfish motive. So this is a very elevated subject matter. So generally, people are cautioned when dealing with stories or pastimes of Radha and Krishna not to delve into them too deeply unless they are qualified. For example, if you're going to the university, before you can take your postgraduate work, you have to graduate in the undergraduate world. Naturally, you can't just jump up. There's an interesting statement. My spiritual master, His Divine Grace S.A. Bhaktivedanta Swami, gave about those who want to jump up to a higher level of spirituality than the level that they have the adhikar, or right to be on. He gave the example of someone trying to imitate Hanuman. Now we all know our great hero Hanuman leaped across the ocean, and the Valmiki Ramayana is described as 800 miles. And so, I can leap maybe half a meter. Maybe you're a little bit better than that if you enter the Olympics or something like that. So if we try to imitate Hanuman, there's an interesting little poem. Big, big belly, big, big monkey, sail on jumping, melancholy. I'll translate that for you. You can't understand that, what that means. That we may be imitating Hanuman, we're actually maybe big monkeys too, depending on the size of our belly. So, and we're even trying to imitate Hanuman, if we do that. Then we try to jump and fall flat on our stomach, trying to go to Ceylon to Sri Lanka. Ceylon jump, melancholy means depressed, because you fall on your stomach. So you try. I'll repeat that poem again. Big, big belly, big, big monkey, sail on jumping melancholy. You can chant that someday. So, if we try to enter into the intimate exchanges of understanding, the intimate exchanges of Radha and Krishna before we're ready, then we may fall flat on our face or on our belly. So we have to be very careful. In the beginning stage of Krishna consciousness, until you come to the platform of absolute steadiness and freedom from attraction to everything in this world, that's a high stage, then we perform something called Vaidhi Bhakti, which means devotional service and practice. So we're practicing. Just like if you want to learn how to play, say, the harmonium or the piano or some instrument like that, you've got to practice a lot. Then you can become spontaneous. Anyone who's heard anyone practicing the piano knows that they have to practice scales. You know, in the Western world it's called Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol, La, Ti, Do. And in the Vedic system there's different names for the same notes. But you have to practice over and over again. Then eventually you can become spontaneous, a concert pianist or a concert harmonium player, whatever it is, by practice. So it takes some work to practice. But I'm going to try to give you the essence of who Radharani is. Not by describing the intimate pastimes, which some of you may be ready for, but I would say the vast majority are not ready for. And I'm going to make reference to Srila Prabhupada's translation and commentary on the Chaitanya Charitamrita's last chapter, which deals with the Shikshashtaka verse. Because the reason the Shikshashtaka verse, these are eight verses that are composed by Krishna when he took the mood of Srimati Radharani. Because the interesting thing about Srimati Radharani is that she is one that, amongst many interesting things, is that she is enjoying more than Krishna. Why is that? Because it's more enjoyable to serve Krishna than be Krishna. You may go to some so-called spiritual place where they teach you your God, everyone's God, God forbid. They don't teach you the final thing. But they teach you some nonsense like that. But it's who wants to be God? Because it's no pleasure, at least for us, it's pleasure for Krishna, pleasure for Rama. But we want to be a servitor of God, and Srimati Radharani is a topmost servitor. And her mood yields the highest pleasure. So therefore, Krishna decided he wanted to have that pleasure too, of serving himself. And in order to be able to serve himself, he took on the mood of Srimati Radharani. Just like you see, or you saw when the curtains were open, the first two deities to the left, other than Prabhupada, Bhakti, Siddhanta, Saraswati, the spiritual masters in disciplic succession, were Gaur Nittai. So Nittai, who's on the right of Gaur, our left, is Nityananda, who's Balaram. Just to introduce you to that, because you may not be familiar. Balaram is the first spiritual master. Balaram appeared in Lord Rama's pastimes as Lakshman. And in every incarnation of God, Balaram appears. But on our right is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he is Krishna himself. This is important for Radhastami to understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is Krishna himself who took the mood of Radharani. Radharani is known as Gaurangi because she is golden color. Not only that, she is very merciful. Krishna himself is merciful, but there's a limit to his mercy. Krishna says in the Gita, give up everything and surrender. Very few people are ready to do that. But when Krishna takes on the mood of Radharani, who is more merciful than Krishna, Krishna becomes more merciful. That's why in this Kali Yuga, we have the appearance of God in the mood of Radharani, who is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because we need unlimited mercy. Why do we need unlimited mercy? Just read the news. Go on the internet, Google the news. We'll see why we need unlimited mercy. It's a mess. The world's a mess. Manda samanda matayo manda bhagya bhagavata. That's not on the news. They don't speak Sanskrit on the news. Which means in Kali Yuga, people are unfortunate, they're short-lived, the memory is short, and people are fighting each other for no reason whatsoever. You know, politics, violent fighting, earthquakes, tornadoes, cyclones, you name it, is occurring at an increasing rate. So therefore, because of our disqualification compared to the other yugas, that is the Satyuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, where other appearances of Krishna were there, the other avatars, we need special mercy. So therefore, Krishna takes on the mood of Radharani for the purpose of giving us special mercy and for the purpose of enjoying more and understanding Radharani's love. And that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Radharani is so merciful. That's why the residents of Braj, Vrindavan, they're always chanting when you meet them. They say, Radhe, 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 Radhe. Because in order to get the mercy of Krishna, especially in this day and age, always we have to approach the Radharani. In fact, our very Maha Mantra that we chant, first of all, has Radharani's name. Hare is Radharani's name in the vocative. That means calling out, oh Radharani. It's not just Radharani's name. Name would be nominative in Sanskrit, a nominative. It's crying out, oh Radharani, please engage me in the spiritual energy, engage me in serving Krishna. So that's our Maha Mantra, and we're chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And of course, Ram refers to Lord Balaram, refers to Lord Ramchandra, Radha Raman. So this is the most important mantra given to us by Krishna when he appears in the mood of Radharani. And when he appears in the mood of Radharani, he's called Gauranga. Radharani is Gaurangi. He's Gauranga. But he gives us the mood of absolute surrender to Krishna in a very nice way through his prayers, which are called the Shikshashvaka prayers. I'm just going to comment on the last one, which shows the mood of Radharani, so we can understand how she is feeling. Because it's too easy to mistake her activities or relationship with Krishna to something that we have experience of in this world and project our own mundane mentality. So this, of course, is the last verse of the Shikshashtaka. And I'll just read the translation, which explains everything. Ashlishnava para vatapadashnama darshnama vatam purotava yatatatava vatatunamrito matpranadapastusa eva naparaha. So the translation is, and this is Radharani speaking. Radharani speaking as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself taking the mood of Radharani. So you understand, this is Radharani's language. You can actually say Radharani Uvacha. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, just before I read this, I want to comment on one thing. Some people say, I cannot find, or they cannot find Radharani's name in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the reason Radharani's name is not in the Srimad Bhagavatam is very interesting. Because Shukadeva Goswami, the speaker of the Srimad Bhagavatam, was a pure devotee of Radharani. Had he mentioned Radharani's name while he was reciting the Bhagavad to Maharaj Parikshit, he would have become stoned. And poor Maharaj Parikshit would have died without hearing the completion of the Bhagavatam. Because as you know, Maharaj Parikshit only had 7 days. He was cursed to die. And he went to Shukadeva Goswami. He gave up eating, sleeping, drinking, and everything for 7 days. And Shukadeva Goswami had a mission to complete the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam. So there is actually no direct mention, but there is an indirect mentioned in which Radharani's name is contained, and that's the word Anyurai Vagyate, which basically means she who worships but has no other focus other than Krishna. So within that expression is Radharani's name. So let me read the translation of the verse that I just read. Translation is as follows. Let Krishna tightly embrace this maidservant who has fallen at his lotus feet, or let him trample me by breaking my heart, or by never being visible to me. He is a debauchee. Now, I don't know if you all know what a debauchee is. I'll tell you. A debauchee is someone who's not really faithful to one particular lady. I mean, to put it in modern language, a playboy. Everyone understands what that means? Krishna's devil. Now you may say, why is he a playboy? Does he just simply want to enjoy? No material happiness. He simply wants to taste rasa and give his devotees a chance to taste the rasa. Even if he appears to be not faithful to Radharani, that's just to bring out a particular relationship of anger. Now you may say, what's so nice about anger? Well, people enjoy anger, don't they? I mean, why do you watch rugby games? So you can get angry. The people playing enjoy it too. So there's a certain type of anger, so Krishna enjoys this exchange. Because Krishna's indirect rasas are things like ghastliness, anger, or humor. Krishna's an extremely humorous person. All the qualities, entertaining qualities that you see in this world are contained within Krishna. Seriousness, joking, dhira lalita, dhira prashanta, dhira dhata, dhira dhata. If you're more interested in this subject matter, we have books that explain it. Very scientific explanation about God. It's not that I'm just simply making these things up. The Vedic literatures describe all these qualities. So Krishna is described as a devotee, it says, after all, and he could do whatever he likes, but still he alone and no one else is the worshipful Lord of my heart. So that is the essence of who Radharani is. She's simply interested in pleasing Krishna. And that is why Krishna wanted to take on her mood, because that's more enjoyable than being Krishna, as I mentioned before. So what could we learn from this? Of course, we cannot imitate Radharani's position. At the same time, we can try to emulate that mood. And we see many great devotees, such as my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder acharya of this movement, who epitomized or characterized or personified this same mood that Srimati Radharani manifested. What do I mean? To satisfy Krishna, he, at a very old age, 70, of course, I'm almost there. Sorry about that. So at a very old age, he crossed the ocean with no money, on a boat, on a freighter, not one of your cruise ships, with swimming pools and everything like that. Had heart attacks on the way over, no money, just to satisfy Krishna. And because he did that, he was able to start this whole Krishna conscious movement. We have hundreds of millions of followers around the world. So that is what it means to understand the mood of Srimati Radharani. Sometimes you think someone may understand the mood because they're chanting Radhe, Radhe all the time. There's nothing wrong with chanting Radhe, Radhe. But who is Radhe? And what is her mood? Then you can understand her. And so Srila Prabhupada gives us that example. The reason I'm doing what I'm doing today and with my life is because Srila Prabhupada is my role model. We all need role models, right? We need people who look up to. People, like children, need someone they can look up to and say when they get older they want to be like that person. So Srila Prabhupada shows us the rule of Radharani and pure devotees in this cyclic succession. His spiritual master, going all the way back to Narada Muni, Vrindavan, show us the rule of Srimati Radharani. And if you examine the lives of these great personalities, then you will understand Srimati Radharani. Not simply by chanting the name of Radharani, and not simply by reading about the pastimes between Radha and Krishna, because there's always the tendency to misinterpret or misunderstand. So my request for all of you on this auspicious day of Radha Ashtami, of course today we'll also be chanting the name of Radharani. You chanted this very nice Sivratika Stava, which I was going to read the translation for, but I'm not going to right now. But my request is to look at these great personalities who are manifesting the mood of Radharani. Try to serve these great personalities, because by serving them, Mahatseva Mahurabhi Muktes, the statement is, you get liberated, you get Krishna consciousness, you go back to home, back to God. It's an easy way to achieve spiritual perfection. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sashna Koi, Lava Mantra, Sadhu Sangha. Sarva Siddhiva, you get all perfection in this way. And that is really who Srimati Radharani is, that particular mood. And then ultimately by that serving, you will understand who she is, and you will go back to Godhead, and you will enter into the pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan. That is the perfection of life. So thank you very much. We'll proceed with the next item on our agenda. What's that? Play? Anyone have any ideas? I'm not the MC here, so. So? Okay, so anyway, all glories to the divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So while we're waiting, I guess a kirtan or something.